listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Well, you heard the man. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. We're 15 minutes. Could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So visit geico.com for a free rate quote. It's officially week two of college football. It's here. And as it pertains to all things football, between now and February 2nd, 2020, you better fasten your seatbelt, put your tray tables forward, your seat backs upright. It's time for takeoff, and you're all coming along for the ride. This is the weekend edition of Straight Outta Vegas. You know, Straight Outta Vegas airs Monday through Friday right here on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Channel 83 from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 to 7 Eastern with R.J. Bell, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, and Jonas Knox. And regardless of the season, know this, we are going to bring you the Vegas truth every Saturday night. This is Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. Now, we cannot begin this show without addressing the elephant in the room. When I got up this morning at 6 o'clock, I did a hit with Arnie Spanier and Lincoln Kennedy. And at that time, Antonio Brown was a Raider. And then a little bit later, about half an hour later, he was not a Raider. Then by lunchtime, he was a Patriot. And if you followed all that, you're better than me. But see, these things don't exist in a vacuum. They affect markets. And so just since that happened, the Pats have gone from 6-1 favorites to win the Super Bowl to 4-1. Meanwhile, the Chiefs dropped from 5-1 down to 6-1. Now, just to win the AFC East, the Pats are a ridiculous 7-4. That's less than 2-1. Man, what if Brady Rose's ankle or something? Their win total is now up to 11.5, and I understand it's been steamed to minus 140, meaning if you bet the over, you've got to bet 140 to win 100. Needless to say, the Antonio Brown signing has sent some shockwaves through the NFL. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with this deal. I do know this, though. If you set aside all the mishigas, the last time Antonio Brown actually played football, the last two games he played for the Steelers, he was targeted 26 times, caught 18 balls for 244 yards and 3 touchdowns. This could get interesting. We're all going to be watching. By the way, if you're feeling saucy, the Raiders, well, they're 2.5-point dogs Monday night to Denver, week later. But there's actually been enough action on the Raiders to win the Super Bowl that if that were to happen, the Vegas books would be on the hook for about a $2 million liability. I understand the Westgate, as a property by themselves, is on the hook for about $1 million. We're going to come back to all things NFL and give you a great rundown, how we can find value in week one. Can there possibly be some exploitation of some inefficient markets? Maybe. We've got some thoughts and trends on home underdogs week one and divisional dogs week one and how they perform and where we think the value is. But just a little bit of quick house cleaning and some doings here in Vegas. And I want to touch on just a couple of college games today because Clemson had won 12 straight games by 20 points or more. Everybody remembers last year Texas A&M gave them a hell of a scare. Clemson held on 28-26. Kellen Mond threw for over 400 yards that day. I know Kelly Bryant remembers that game because that was the last time that he played for the Clemson Tigers, and America got their first look at Trevor Lawrence. He stepped onto the field, had made a cameo appearance, went 5-9 for 93 passing yards and a touchdown. But let's skip to the present. Clemson was a 17.5-point favorite today at home to beat Texas A&M. A lot of people I respect were on Texas A&M. They thought it might be the perfect storm. You got a veteran coach, Jimbo Fisher. You got a veteran quarterback, Kellen Mond. The moment's not too big for them, a physical defense. And, you know, I think Clemson remembered what happened last year. As such, they hit Kellen Mond more than Rocky Balboa. They really hit him. He was limping around. But here's why this business is so tough. Clemson up 24-3 with 6 seconds to go. They're covering. They're about to win their 13th straight game by 20 points or more. Texas A&M scores a meaningless touchdown. Texas A&M bettors get their cash. Good for them. By the way, one noteworthy bet in that game, last night, I think it was around 6 o'clock. It's my understanding it was at a William Hill property. Somebody put 40 grand, 40K, on a money line bet on Texas A&M plus 650. That would have paid $260,000. By the way, that was one of three pretty large bets on these singular games that were all placed in the last 24 hours. 5 minutes before kickoff at William Hill, Marshall was catching 14 against Boise State. Somebody put 100 grand on that game. That was a winner. Marshall hung that number. They led at halftime, I think. But they lost 14-7. Boise State wins the game, but Marshall gets the cash. Another huge bet today. The Fighting Illini, Lovie Smith's Fighting Illini, travel to UConn, laying 20. Somebody put 55 grand, 55K on Illinois, minus 20. Illinois gets the win, but they only win by 8, so that better is out that money. And it's my understanding that a lot of the sharps, a lot of the syndicates, a lot of the real respected money was all over Western Kentucky, plus 7.5 today against Florida International. And I believe they won outright, Sleepy, so nice call. One other college game I want to get to, because Texas has been sort of a political football in terms of the sharps. I know our own Brad Powers, the man with the college knowledge, downgraded Texas quite a bit this year, probably because they lost so many starters. But in a little known fact, even though Texas won all those games last year, they were outyarded per play. So when LSU opened up as a 3.5-point favorite and it got steamed all the way to 6.5, not a lot of people guffawed, because LSU's actually got an offense now, Sleepy. Joe Burrow looks terrific.
Really good.
And LSU's always had athletes. I mean, look, they had Odell Beckham. They had Jarvis Landry. But how many times have you watched LSU play a 9-7 pitcher's duel? This team has got a legitimate offense now. And I think Joe Burrow did take advantage today of Texas's young, inexperienced secondary. LSU wins 45-38. They get the cash. Even if you got the worst of the number, you got the cover. So onward and upward, LSU has a daunting schedule, but I think you have to put them on the short list of teams, Sleepy, that might find their way into the Final Four.
Yeah, you mentioned Joe Burrow. I mean, Bernie, he has over 750 yards passing in 2 games, 9 touchdowns in 2 games. LSU has a legitimate offense, and that's probably been something we haven't been able to say for probably, the last 10 years, Bernie? But, Texas shouldn't hang their head. It's a loss to LSU. Yeah, it came at Texas. But, when you lose to a good LSU team, that's really not a bad thing. I don't think it's going to hurt Texas in the rankings a whole lot.
I'm glad I didn't bet the game. Full disclosure, if I'd had a gun to my head, I would have probably grabbed the points. Tom Herman, 13-2, is a dog.
Yep.
9 of those were outright wins. And there were many times where Texas clawed their way back in, but every time they did, LSU would step on their neck. I think it's safe to say the Tigers have people's attentions, and they're now 4-0 against the spread in their last 4 games. I'm very happy for Ed Orgeron. I think the man can coach, recruit. He got passed over several times, and I think it would be interesting to see how deep LSU can make this run. They've got a bit of a gauntlet ahead of them. All right, let's move ahead to the NFL, Sleepy. It's here. And I would say this, that Week 1 is always a difficult proposition. It's tough to handicap Week 1 games. But at the same time, I've also believed that it's a little tough for the books to hang accurate numbers Week 1. As such, as you try to do your best to look for market inefficiencies, there are a couple of categories where we think that you might find an edge. One of them has to do with home underdogs. Tomorrow, there happen to be 4 home underdogs. The Dolphins, are they getting 7 now, Sleepy? Has that number got to 7 against Baltimore?
Yes, pretty much across the board, it's 7.
Okay, so you've got the Dolphins at home against the Ravens, catching 7. You've got the Jags. They opened at 4. I think it's down to 3.5 at home against Kansas City. Is that a correct line, Sleepy?
Yes, it is.
All right. The Panthers, Carolina, now that opened at 3. I saw it come down to 1.5. I think it's currently around 2 against the Super Bowl losing L.A. Rams. Mm-hmm. Is that a correct number?
Yep.
And then the game that kind of near and dear to my heart is the Arizona Cardinals catching 2.5 against the Lions. I don't know. When you make the Lions a road favorite, I don't care if they're playing the Hoboken Zephyrs. I just can't utter that sentence without chuckling. But you might want to know this, folks, that now, well, heading into this season, divisional dogs were 17-4 week one last 5 years. Green Bay made that 18-4 with their outright win as a three-point dog Thursday night against the Bears. Since 2005, the first 3 weeks, cumulatively, division dogs are 133-85, week one through three. That's 61%. So we're going to individually talk about all those games as we get into the show. The second category home dogs, which we just talked about. Now I want to talk about divisional dogs. Now, the other games, now, the Raiders were a divisional dog, which they are. They're catching 2.5. I'm going to wave that game off. I'll have nothing to do with that game. If I do, I'll actually go against this. But, Sleepy, we're going to get to this game, too. I believe Washington now catching 10 against Philly.
Yeah, highest line of the weekend.
Is that the only double-digit line week one?
Right now you have the Bengals teeter-tottering right around 10 as well against the Seahawks. The Bengals will be getting around 10, 9.5 points. That's the next highest one.
All right. And then I believe the final divisional dog is the New York Giants catching 7, 7.5 against Dallas.
Yep.
And by the way, the Giants-Dallas game and the Redskins game against Philadelphia have another similarity, and that is these are teams that are not only divisional dogs, but they are teams that didn't make the playoffs last year versus a team that did. And when you add that dimension, when you add that aspect to this equation, the trend is 31-9 in the last 5 years. That is pretty strong. The NFL is here, folks. We are going to go over all these games, give you our thoughts, give you some trends, give you some angles, and hope to fill your head with information so that you can beat your bookie. We are literally, Sleepy, 11 hours away.
I can't wait.
From a full NFL slate, and this is not a slow news day. I don't know how we got through all that in 12 minutes. Great news, folks. There's a quick and easy way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. It only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com and see how much you can save. Falcons and Vikings are first on the docket. But I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the free game show you always wanted. So don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
It's for you, Philadelphia. We're back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Sleepy, it is here. We have got a full slate of NFL games tomorrow, and we are going to put our foot on the gas and get to all of them. It will start in Minnesota, the Vikings laying 3.5 against the Falcons. Obviously, this game comes down to Kirk Cousins. I think when the heat is hot and it's hard to breathe and the lights are bright, he'll lose you a game, but I like him on week one. Mike Zimmer, 7-2 straight up and against the spread at home in September, and 32-21 straight up in his career in non-division games. You've got a light line. I don't know why this line is this light. I don't think the Falcons plus 4 is much value.
I'm passing, Bernie. I can't tell you this much about that game, that this is the second least bet game tomorrow, which is kind of surprising to me. So I'm going to pass that one.
I think there's just better games on the board, including the one we're going to talk about. It's a divisional game, Redskins at Eagles. You've got a situation here, which we teased in the last segment. You've got a divisional dog. You've also got a playoff team versus a non-playoff team. So when you put the two together, the Redskins, a divisional dog, week one, did not participate in the playoffs last year versus the Eagles, who did. They're 31-9 to the dog. Since 2005, division underdogs in week one through week three, as I said earlier, 133-85. And 10 at 67%. By the way, give it up to Case Keenum. In his career as a starter, as an underdog, he's 15-8 against the number. I like the Eagles, but I think it stays under a touchdown.
I'll be honest with you, Bernie. I know the Eagles probably just as good as I know the Packers. And here's what I know about the Eagles. they're probably the deepest team in the league when it comes to skill position guys, where they have another guy that could start for another team. They're extremely deep. Here's something that I know about Philly. They've been disappointed. A lot of their fans have been disappointed because of the way that things went last season. They're going to put everybody on notice, Bernie. They're probably going to go out and try to really beat up the Redskins to set the tone, to let everybody know, we're back. You guys are going to have a lot of trouble with us this season. And to be honest with you, Bernie, I'm going to give out my prediction right now. Philadelphia will win the Super Bowl this season.
They might very well, and we'll be talking about them the next 4 months. I just think that double digits on week one is a tall order. I'm not involved in this game, but if I was, I'd lean to the dog. All right, a game I think that's going to really get my attention tomorrow, Bills and Jets. I got to give it up. Josh Allen looks a little better and more comfortable than I believed he would be. And, you know, I don't really believe in preseason stats, but perfect preseason teams like the Bills, they're 11-7 against the spread as road underdogs week one since 1982. And by the way, Buffalo also fits into the aforementioned system that we talked about, division dogs week one through week three, as the Bills are catching three, down to 2.5 in some shops right now. By the way, the dog in this series, Sleepy, Bills-Jets, 21-13. I think the Bills have a very underrated defense. I think the Bills could win this game outright tomorrow.
Well, I would be on the opposite side of you, Bernie. I'm actually really high on the Jets. I think that they're probably one of my AFC sleeper teams to make the playoffs. One of the big reasons, I think Darnold, with the addition of Le'Veon Bell, has a lot of room that he can grow. And I think we'll see a lot of improvement with this Jets offense. Robbie Anderson, Anunua, once they get Herndon back from his suspension. I mean, the Jets really have an offense that I think could put points up on the board. But Bernie, let me ask you this question. This line with the total set it right around 40, 40.5. It's the same old total for the same two teams. We've seen this line come out each and every year for the last 10 years. I think that both of these offenses are much improved this season. I like the over personally, but I really like the Jets tomorrow. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to fade that line move.
A buddy of mine who's very sharp, Scott Kellen, likes the over tomorrow in this game. Buffalo also 3-0 against the spread in the first of consecutive away games. I like Buff tomorrow. You won't see me play a total the first week. Just can't do it. Afraid to play an under because I have these recurring nightmares of my unders in, and then you get a crazy pass interference call, PI call,
yep,
and somebody gets a 75-yard gain. Let's move along. Ravens at Dolphins. Again, you detect a pattern here. Ravens 6.5 or 7 in some shops. What are you showing, Sleepy?
Right now, most of the books are at 7.
All right. So the Ravens are laying 7 at Miami. Here's another situation. You've got a home dog, a non-playoff team versus a team that made the playoffs last year. I think this is a tough game to handicap because a lot of the folks believe that Miami will be the worst team in the NFL this year. And a lot of folks expect the Ravens to be one of the more improved teams. Because Lamar Jackson, I think, can play the position. And they won 10 games last year, and they got a good defense. Baltimore does. But how many teams in the NFL over the years in September have we seen go down to Florida and wilt in that hot weather? I've seen New England do it. I've seen lots of teams do it. By the way, again, Miami 4-2 straight up and against the spread over the past three seasons. Week one, and they're a better September team than they are a December team. I think Baltimore is giving too many points, but I think the game's going to end up right around the number. I can't find a scenario where Miami wins, but I'm not so sure Baltimore covers. Stay away from me.
I have no faith right now, Bernie, in the Ravens' offense. I mean, they might have the worst offensive roster right now in the league, and I think that the Dolphins probably go into week one an opener game. Usually you get a high level of energy from your home team. And Dolphins are probably approaching this as it's us against the world, and I don't want to go ahead and lay 7 points, Bernie, on the road with a Ravens offense that might not be able to put up a lot of points. I would be with you here on the dog, maybe, with the Dolphins.
If that was going to play the game, that where I lean, but I will not be involved in this game. Again, I just think there's better games on the board, and I the Dolphins roster is not great. You really don't know what you get with Brian Flores, rookie coach, and they've had some turmoil this year. Mm. 49ers-Buccaneers. Now, this game is intriguing. The Bucs, I'm showing currently the Bucs are laying 1.5. What are you showing?
There are some picks out there, -1, -1.5.
All right. Yep. So Bruce Arians, who's sort of the quarterback whisperer, who's done wonderful things. We're going to see if he can do that with Jameis Winston. That's a huge unknown. On the other side of the ball, can Jimmy Garoppolo live up to this contract coming off a season-ending knee injury? Frankly, it didn't look great in the preseason. Okay, not that big a deal to me. Again, you've got a team traveling down to play in that Florida heat. The 49ers, sleepy. They're 0-4 against the number in their last four road games. They're 1-7 against the number in their last eight games against NFC opponents. By the way, the home team in this series, 7-3 against the spread in their last head-to-head, last 10 head-to-head matchups. Too close to call. There are people I respect a lot that like the 49ers. There are other people I respect that like the Buccaneers. What say you?
For me, Bernie, I'm going to go ahead and listen to the guys that I work with, and a lot of them like the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. One of the big reasons, okay, the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo did not look all that great in preseason.
Nope.
49ers did not win a road game last year. For me, it's going to be a stay away. I mean, it looks like two bad teams, high total, 51. Who knows what happens? Probably, like you talked about, maybe a bad beat. Maybe some crazy flag is a decider in this game. I'm staying away.
I like Kyle Shanahan, but I like in this spot maybe Bruce Arians slightly more, right? So, again, I think one of the keys to having success in this business is using discretion and not endangering your bankroll.
Right.
And you don't have to bet every game. Mm-mm. And I think what you want to do is, you know, handicap the games you like, get behind them, fire on them, and don't overdo anything week one. Start slow, right? We've got a ton of games to get to. We got to get to Chiefs Jaguars, Titans Browns, Colts Chargers, Giants Cowboys, Steelers Patriots, and then, of course, that Monday night doubleheader, Texas Saints, Broncos Raiders. And my favorite game, for various reasons, I bet you Chris Perfett could vouch for this, we're going to get to, has to do with a team that's laying points on the road. This is not just any team. They've won one playoff game since 1957. They've got a coach who's already in turmoil, but they're facing a rookie quarterback who's making his first ever start in the NFL week one. And when I tell you the story that you're about to hear, you're going to laugh and say, could lightning strike a third time? We're going to get to that game straight away. But first, let's go to the man who dated Ariana Grande for a minute, but she wouldn't rock the socks and sandals, so he dropped her like a bad transmission. That would be Brian Finley with the latest.
Yeah, Bernie, you know, that's right on my Bumble profile. So obviously, you know, she didn't get the message. But hey, you do what you can, right? Minnesota winning in double overtime against Fresno State, 38-35. Michael Lance hit a 37-yard field goal in that second OT. Jorge Reina, the Bulldogs quarterback, floated a pass into the end zone, and Antoine Winfield Jr. picked off the pass, and it's the second year in a row against Fresno State, Winfield Jr. grabbing the game-clinching interception. And for all you Night Owls out there, 14th-ranked Washington is leading Cal 10-3 in just the second quarter over on FS1. UW ran in a 21-yard touchdown. Lightning delayed this game over 2 hours. Oregon State is stiff-arming Hawaii 28-21 over on the islands in the third quarter. Beavers' Artavis Pierce has run in two scores. From earlier, USC, are they back? The Trojans clobber 23rd-ranked Stanford 45-20. SC quarterback Keaton Slovis, a true freshman, threw for 377 yards and three scores. Hey, online car shopping can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car, so visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. And as we head into NFL Sunday at pregame.com, they've got the Giants and Cowboys betting line now at 45.5. Now back to our gambling guru, the one and only Bernie Fratto.
Thank you, Brian, and I'm very sorry about your Bruins. I understand the funeral is Tuesday.
Yeah, you know, that was a tough one, being on the field for that. You know, we got out to a good start, scored the first touchdown, and then it was all downhill after that.
Yeah, they started slow, actually, then faded, but that's a conversation for another day. Welcome back, folks, to the Fox Sports Radio Studios, brought to you by GEICO. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with GEICO. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO, A-U-T-O. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Sleepy, the Detroit Lions visit Arizona. Now, tomorrow, they're laying 1.5, 2.5, excuse me. And where do I start? Well, the Lions did win their 17-3 last year. This is a battle of, I think, the two worst teams in the NFL. And I don't know how you possibly justify the Lions as being a road favorite. But again, as I've said many times, the line is not a predictor. It's merely an instrument to create equal action on both sides so the books can show a profit with minimize the risk and maximize the profit. That's the Department of Redundancy Department. You might be interested in all of those, Sleepy. The Cardinals are not only 8-1 against the spread at home against the Lions. Lions are 5-13 straight up and 7-11 against the spread in road games when they open up on the road, including an 0-4 against the spread record as favorites. But there's a wild card to this game, okay? The Cardinals obviously have this upstart young coach, Cliff Kingsbury, who didn't exactly light the world on fire at Texas Tech. He didn't light the world on fire at Texas A&M either because he never coached there. But the bottom line is you really don't know what you're going to get. You just don't. But I want to share this with the folks because I covered the Lions for many years, 10 years. And the first year I covered the Lions was Barry Sanders' last year. I like to say I saw it all. And the last year I covered them, they were 0-16. But here's what I remember most about that 0-16 season. The Lions have an issue when it comes to facing rookie quarterbacks making their first ever NFL start in week one. Dateline, September 2008. The Lions traveled to Atlanta. A young kid by the name of Matt Ryan out of Boston College is making his NFL debut in week one against the Lions. 3rd and 9, he drops back to pass, throws a hitch route to a kid named Michael Jenkins from Ohio State, takes it 62 yards to the house. Atlanta wins. The Lions proceed to go 0-16. Fast forward 10 years, last year, Monday Night Football, week one, Lions are hosting the Jets. A kid by the name of Sam Darnold making his NFL debut week one against the Lions. Everybody saw that terrible pick he threw across his body to start the game, and then the Jets proceed to hang a 47 burger on them. You saw what happened. Tomorrow, 1:25 Pacific time, Kyler Murray makes his NFL debut week one against the Lions. Well, we already see lightning striking up in Washington. Can it strike in Arizona against the Lions 3 times in a row? I say it can. We'll see.
I disagree with you, Bernie. I think that the Lions are going to come out in this game and really try to showcase the offense that they've tried to put together for the last couple of years. Matt Stafford, Kerryon Johnson, Kenny Galladay. They bring in that TJ Hockenson for the tight end. I think the defense is going to be half decent this year. Darius Slay could probably guard the best wide receiver on Arizona, and I don't even know who that is. Is it Trent Sherfield? Is it Larry Fitzgerald? I mean, I don't know.
Michael Crabtree, probably.
Yeah, but I mean...
You know what? We don't need to get too granular. The bottom line is... The Lions are going to stink, and we'll do this all year, okay? They're going to be 6-10, and Kerryon Johnson will be a decent 2-down back. I'm not going to disavow everything you said there. The question is, how does it manifest itself as a practical matter? And I'm not involved in this game tomorrow. I just wanted to give the folks some perspective. A game, though, that I am involved in, and by the way, we'll give our best bets at the end of the show. And in the game, I'll give you a little tease. My best bet's going to involve this game. Carolina is hosting the Rams. Again, another home dog. Rams are currently 1.5, 2?
1.5 across the board.
Okay, I got this at 2 today. Carolina catching 2 at William Hill. The Rams, I think, are going to regress this year. There are rumblings as to whether or not Jared Goff may be overrated, but let's not go down that road. Teams that lost in the Super Bowl against the spread as road favorites, non-division games in this millennium are 17-30. By the way, Super Bowl teams, you fade the Super Bowl loser week one, they're only 3-16. Carolina's pretty good against the Rams for whatever reason. 6-1 against the number in their last 7, and they've never lost to them at home. Hold that thought. We'll give you our pick on that game at the end of the show. All right, a game that Aaron Torres brought up when I was on with Arnie and Aaron about an hour and a half ago, Chiefs at Jaguars. Sleepy, do you agree that Jaguars should be improved? They have an upgrade at quarterback. I think Nick Foles is a tremendous upgrade. Andy Reid, 96-58 against the number on the road. Tough game to handicap. Chiefs laying 3. Again, a game I'm not involved in. Do you have a thought?
I do, and here's a question I have for you, Bernie, and a lot of people have been bringing this up with me the last week. The last time Tyreek Hill was on the football field, the New England Patriots literally shut him down. Now you have a Jaguars secondary who probably could be the best in the league. I think if you could take Tyreek Hill out of this game, and I think that's what a lot of the sharps are thinking because tons of money have come in here on the Jaguars, I would side with them and probably go ahead and use the Jaguars tomorrow in one of my bets. I don't think the Chiefs are going to perform as well as they did last year. Mahomes probably regress. For me, it would be the Jaguars, but I think the big key is if the New England Patriots kind of showed everybody the blueprint how to slow down Tyreek Hill.
Mahomes has to regress. He threw 50 touchdown passes last year. Yeah. By the way, Aaron brought up prop bets for players. His touchdown total this year is 38.5. Mm-hmm. So he's going to regress, but that doesn't mean KC still can't win 9 or 10 games. I'm not touching that game. Titans at Browns. Browns laying 5.5. We talked about the bettor who came in, put $25,000 on Tennessee plus 5.5. I will tell you this. The books have taken so much Cleveland money. we know who the books need tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think the Browns are going to win probably week one. I don't know if they hang that number.
I don't have much of an opinion. It's probably going to be a pass for me. I hope the Browns win. I would like to see all this excitement and hype for, you know, Cleveland to actually come to fruition tomorrow. So I hope they win.
Seahawks, Bengals, real quickly. Under Andy Dalton, the Bengals are pretty good in September. The Seahawks say they've retooled, but they're laying a healthy number to Cincinnati. You mentioned that you like the Bengals in this spot.
I do, and I really hoped that AJ Green was going to be able to play in this game. Obviously, you know, he's going to be out for quite some time. But, Bernie, I have to be honest, the Seattle Seahawks have probably made my biggest downgrade adjustment for the entire season. I do not like their offense. They can only run for so long. Russell Wilson, he's gonna eventually take some type of a shot and occur some type of an injury. I know Seattle has a nice home field, but the Bengals still have an offense with Joe Mixon, Taj Boyd. I mean, Andy Dalton, serviceable quarterback. I'll take those points any day of the week.
Again, week one, that's a big number to lay. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can lay it. You get rich laying that kind of number on week one. Another number that changed dramatically because 2 weeks ago tonight, the biggest news in the NFL, which has now been usurped by the biggest news today, and Antonio Brown involved a very popular quarterback who was booed when he told the world he was retiring. We'll talk about that game and how it shifted back and forth. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas. We're back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And before I go any further, I want to thank my broadcast crew back in the City of Angels. That would be Los Angeles, California, Sherman Oaks to be specific. That would be Chris Perfett, Eric Roberts, and Brian Finley. Thanks so much, guys, for all the work you do. You keep us glued together so that we can bring this fine broadcast to a grateful nation. And of course, let's not forget our on-site jack-of-all-trades, former U.S. Marine. That would be Sleepy J. Sleepy J, Colts, Chargers. I teased it heading into the break. At one time, this line was 3. Then it went to 9.5, and now it's settled about 6.5. I still believe the Colts are great value here. It's a game I like. It's not my best bet. I think Jacoby Brissett will do a fine job. They've got a far better offensive line, a far better defense than when he started 15 games in 2017 and was 4-11. And they led 9 of those games at halftime. And we all know since moving to L.A., the Chargers are not exactly a cover machine. By the way, if they don't score a bunch of points like 40, they're 2-8 against the number. I like the Colts to cover the game. I even give them a small chance to win outright.
I'm staying away from it, but I'll give you a quick injury update tomorrow. Chargers place kicker Bagley, he's probably going to be out listed right now as doubtful, so the punter is going to end up taking all the kicking duties. That could decide.
No Derwin James,
mm-hmm.
which is a huge loss.
Yep.
No Melvin Gordon, which is a loss, but not a huge loss.
Oakland,
all right,
yep.
Let's move along. Dallas and the Giants, a game I've talked about for a couple of weeks. I like the dog here. Again, you've got a situation, New York Giants getting 7.5, divisional dogs, 18-4, last 5 years, and Giants didn't make the playoffs, Dallas did, you add the two together, 31-9, Cowboys 1-4 against the spread, their last five season openers. Jason Garrett is not a cover machine. He's like 30% as a home favorite. I know it sounds wacky. I think the Giants really give Dallas fits tomorrow.
I have Eli Manning rated as my worst starting quarterback in the league. I actually have him rated as -1 to the betting line if he plays. If he sits, you actually get
points. Well, he's playing.
I understand that. But here's one thing that concerns me about the Giants and the points tomorrow. It's the Dallas Cowboy defense. I really like this defense. I have them rated as #3. It would either be put the Cowboys in a teaser, which I'm really thinking of tomorrow, Bernie, or staying away from laying those points.
Remember, that's built into the line.
Mm-hmm.
7.5 is a lot, week 1. Steelers-Patriots, the Sunday night game. Pats, currently 6, Sleepy?
Yes, and some 5.5s are starting to pop up right now.
But now, by the way, I talked earlier about how Super Bowl, you know, fading the Super Bowl loser week 1. The Super Bowl champ week 1 historically has been pretty decent, but do you really want to lay 6 to this Steeler team? Ben Roethlisberger, 34-18 against his spread in his career as an underdog. By the way, of those 34 covers, he won like 30 of them outright. The Steelers, 8-3 as an underdog of 3 or more in Sunday night games. And Mike Tomlin, when coming off a year where they don't make the playoffs, they average 10 wins the following season. Meanwhile, the Pats, they're always too expensive on Sunday night. That's why they're only 7-12 as home favorites on Sunday night. And by the way, only 3-8 against the number in their last 11 games. The Patriots probably win, but not by a touchdown. I like Pittsburgh in the points.
I'd be afraid to lay those points, Bernie. The number has come down with the total. Money's coming here on the under. I agree with that move.
All right, our final two games, the Saints hosting the Texans, the Monday night doubleheader. We talked about this earlier. Why, I don't know, but the Saints are not good in season openers. And I think the Texans have a good team, and they have a good roster. Saints, again, laying a lot of points. I've seen 6.5s. I've seen 7s. I think if you blindly bet underdogs in season-opening Monday night games in the last 35 years, you're about 70% to the number. That leads me to the Texans plus the points, Sleepy.
I'm going to go ahead and save this game, Bernie, because this is going to be my best bet.
Ho-ho-ho. All right, Broncos-Raiders. Look, First of all, the Raiders actually opened up. The send-off line was 2.5.
Right.
Back when Moby Dick was a minnow. But there's been news since then. And by the way, even before all this Antonio Brown chicanery happened, I think sharp money was coming in on Denver. I think there's a lot of respect for Vic Fangio. It was another divisional dog.
Denver defense, very good.
Fangio is brilliant in his pre-snap, two-deep safety reads. Mm-hmm. And then when the ball snapped, that could morph into a very murky, confusing thing for a quarterback to process. He'll employ man schemes. He'll employ zone schemes. He's going to confuse Derek Carr. Let's just say this. I probably will have half a unit on the Broncos. Not crazy about laying 2.5, but all numbers point to Denver. And I'm going against my divisional dog, home dog, because the Raiders are a hot mess.
All right, Bernie, let me give you my best bet for tomorrow. We're running short on time here. Texas Saints, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to play the under, Bernie, this number up over that key number of 51. It's at 52.5, some 53s. The Texans have no running back. They're probably going to be one-dimensional in this game, and I like the Saints secondary. I think the Saints secondary will slow down the Texans pass. I think they'll stop that run. Saints rushing attack, actually, or rushing defense, very good. And I don't think that the Saints offense is going to be as advertised as good as it was last year with the loss of Mark Ingram. I'm going to play that game under that number.
You like the under.
I love the
under. 52.
That's my favorite pick of the
non-divisional game, too.
Texas Saints and under.
Wow. I try to make scores of games. I actually have that game getting into the 60s.
Well, we disagree.
But I'm not playing it. And you're Sleepy. Look, let's not bury the lead. Last Sunday, you had the Washington Nationals on the run line as your best bet. They won 9-3. I had the Packers plus 3.5 Thursday night. We both hit our best bets. Sleepy, give your best bet real quickly again.
Texas and the Saints under 52.5.
Okay, is that 52.5 number pretty steady in most shops?
Yes, sir.
All right. I've teased this earlier, but I really love the Carolina Panthers catching two tomorrow against the Los Angeles Rams. If you don't think Super Bowl teams suffer a losing hangover the following season that lasts most of the year, if you bet blindly on these teams in the last 20 years, you'd be about 38% to the number. That's not good. Take Carolina plus the two. That's going to do it, folks. Up next, Jason Martin, the man from Nashville. It is the Jason Martin Show.